tweet at TodaySOR.
Britain's withdrawal agreement with the European Union is expected to be voted through the House of Commons today, setting the stage for Brexit finally to happen at the end of this month. But of course, we still do not have a clear picture of what the UK's exit will look like, particularly at the end of this year when the transition period expires. Meanwhile, Stormont talks continued late into the night with parties edging closer to a deal. And separately, the Taoiseach has said a United Ireland is further away than before following the RIC commemoration controversy. I'm joined now by Heather Humphreys, Minister for Business, Enterprise and Innovation, to discuss these issues and more. Minister, let's start with your own border region. You announced last week a package of €28 million for the border region. This, I think, is the first time your department has provided targeted, ring-fenced funding to a specific region. Now, why have you decided now is the time for this type of initiative, other than that there's an election imminent?
Good morning. And just to be clear, there has been 3 years of uncertainty. We now know that Brexit is going to happen at the end of the month. And the border region, as you know, is particularly exposed to the impact of Brexit. We have been doing a lot of work in terms of supporting businesses right across the country to prepare for Brexit. But businesses on the border are going to feel it harder than any other businesses across the country. So I want to ensure that businesses in the region, in the border counties of Donegal, Sligo, Leitrim, Cavan, Monaghan and Louth, are supported by government in responding to the challenges and indeed the uncertainties which lie ahead.
Who's going to be giving out that money and who's going to get it and how do they get their hands on it?
Well, first of all, it's an economic stimulus package. It's going to be administered through the local enterprise offices, Science Foundation Ireland, Enterprise Ireland. So they will all be dealing with the funding. We're first of all going to hold workshops right across the six border counties in the coming weeks. The first workshop is in Cavan and Monaghan on Monday. The second one is in Dundalk on Tuesday. And I'm hoping to hold the third one then in Sligo on Wednesday. So I'm lining up a number of workshops across the six counties. So the people will be able to come in and businesses can come in. They can hear from all the agencies who will be there at the workshops to hear about the fund. So there's €3 million going to the local enterprise offices, and that's about encouraging companies to look at boosting their exports, to embracing innovation, and that's so important, improving their management skills, because we know that companies that go through the lean program look at all of their costs, improve their management and indeed their financial skills.
No,
we know that's better for them.
That money and that support will be widely welcomed by the people who are in a position to get it. But is there not a bigger problem, Minister, highlighted by the fact that the number of IDA site visits, again, the concentration is largely on Dublin and to a lesser extent on big cities like Cork and Galway. 42% of the visits in 2018 were in Dublin. Only a small percentage went to other places, be they Longford, Monaghan, Wexford, Wicklow. Each received 7 site visits by the IDA teams, amounting to just over half of 1%. What's going wrong or what's going on?
Yeah, well, you see, I just want to be clear here that the government is absolutely focused on regional job creation, and I personally am very focused on it. Yesterday, we announced a record level of IDA jobs in the regions, and 65% of all Enterprise Ireland supported jobs are now outside Dublin. And I also announced a €40 million regional enterprise project funds yesterday. I opened them last year, and now they were allocated yesterday. Again, to some really, really good projects right across the country. So can I just say that site visits are a blunt instrument to measure job creation, because often jobs are created by existing FDI companies. And what's more important is results.
Cut much ice with the people in Longford, Monaghan, Wexford or Wicklow to take the places that got the lowest level.
Yeah, but today we have the highest level of FDI employment outside of Dublin ever. Regional investments increased by 50% over the past 5 years, and every region met the target of increasing investment by 30 to 40% before the end of 2019. There's been an unprecedented investment in rural Ireland by this government, including €148 million so far under the €1 billion Rural Regeneration and Development Fund, €100 million under the €2 billion Urban Regeneration and Development Fund, and another €100 million under the Regional Enterprise Development Fund, which comes out of my department. And it's not all all about FDI. It's also about our Indigenous companies. And only the day before yesterday, I announced an increase in job creation in Enterprise Ireland supported companies, which are Irish companies creating jobs in every single region in this country.
When is the election, Minister, in your view?
Well, I have a lot of work to do in terms of the next number of months. As you know, the Taoiseach and the minister, or sorry, and Micheál Martin, the leader of the opposition, is meeting this evening. So I think we'll just have to wait and see the outcome of those meetings.
But I don't know if you heard all or any of the discussion we had just prior to this conversation you and I are having, but it's clear listening to certainly the rural deputies, and okay, they have to, I suppose, speak up their own concerns, but that this government has effectively, it's run its course. The numbers just aren't there for it to get measures through without looking for Fianna Fáil to actually vote in favour of what it wants now.
Yeah, well, I think when you look at where we came from in 2011 and where we are now, and Dan O'Brien, the economist, said it all today in the paper. He said, Fine Gael's handling of the economy, it's hard to find any significant indicator that's negative. We have the largest number of people ever at work in Ireland. I know we have issues, and yes, we're now in a better position. We have returned a surplus budget, over a billion surplus
I know,
in 2019.
That's the upside. There's no gain saying that. But again, it's like the emphasis on the housing crisis, the health crisis. We don't need to recite all the figures
that,
there.
Yes, and we do know that. And we know there are issues that we have to deal with, but we are dealing with them. But we're in a lot better position now than we were so that we can deal with these issues that we can see every day. But it is improving. We're building more houses now than we ever built before. And of course, there are issues around the health service. And this is a very difficult month every year in terms of the trolley crisis. But we have made inroads and we are making changes, and it will bring improvements to people's lives.
Moving back to the economic situation, particularly in the context of Brexit, Minister, there seems to be uncertainty and confusion about, above all, I suppose, whether there can be a trade agreement hammered out between the European Union and Britain by the end of this year, but also how it will work on this island. Can you just explain in simple terms what the situation will be? Because, I mean, Boris Johnson seems to have, say, in between the time of the agreement being settled with the European Union and the election and the aftermath, which he won in clear terms, about what kind of checks are going to apply and what kind of impediments are going to be there to the movement of goods between Britain, Northern Ireland and there and here.
Yeah, well, of course, the withdrawal agreement was only phase one of Brexit. And as you said, we're going to enter it now into some very complex negotiations on a new trade deal. And I think it's very important that we have somebody like Phil Hogan, who has been appointed to lead the free trade agreement. But in terms of the withdrawal agreement, the whole point of this agreement is to ensure frictionless trade and no changes between North and South. And it does ensure a transition period, so nothing changes this year and the UK still follows the EU rules. Northern Ireland will remain aligned to the single market to avoid the need for checks on the island of Ireland, and that will be the case even if a new trade agreement isn't agreed by the end of 2020. What will change is that there will be need for limited checks on certain goods coming into Northern Ireland, which could enter the single market, for example, through the Republic. So there has to be checks there. So we have
there
always
being,
known...
This is, you're talking there about the border down the Irish Sea.
Yes. So we have always known that there will be some checks on goods coming from the UK into the North. The exact detail on this still needs to be worked out. But again, it won't be on the land border. And there will be a number of issues that will have to be worked out by the joint committee that has been set up.
Yeah, because as we say, it's unclear how checks on goods coming into Northern Ireland will take place. But to your knowledge, I mean, for instance, might we have our own customs officials stationed at ports in Northern Ireland, or will that work be carried out solely by Her Majesty's Revenue?
Well, look, at Northern Ireland will be legally part of the UK Customs Union, even though they will operate to rules of EU Customs Union. So this avoids the need for physical infrastructure and controls at the Irish border. So it is a unique position. And I actually think it's the best of both worlds for the North. I think there's an opportunity here for Northern Ireland because it will make it attractive, because it'll have access to the UK market, access to the EU market. But we have to protect the integrity of the single market. So goods coming in from the UK will need some form of checking system. How exactly this will operate will have to be worked out after Brexit takes place by the new joint committee.
Now, another matter, and I alluded to it there in my intro, Minister, was the Taoiseach expressing disappointment at how the controversy surrounding the RIC commemoration and the Dublin Metropolitan Police had led to that event being cancelled. I mean, did your colleague Charlie Flanagan effectively drop the ball on this by setting up an event to which a lot of people that you would have expected to have been invited were not invited, and without getting an agreement as to the format and structure of it?
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of misinformation about this particular event, and I cannot emphasise enough that this event was never about the Blackened Hands, who we all know committed terrible atrocities. This was supposed to be a solemn and sombre event in memory of the ordinary RIC members who lost their lives. And many of those RIC members have relatives across the country to this day. And indeed, Douglas Hyde, the first president of Ireland, had a brother in the RIC, and the father of Eamon Cant, one of the 1916 signatories, was a member of the RIC. So that just highlights how complicated our history is. This event was supposed to be about bringing people together, mutual understanding and reconciliation.
All the more reason for it to have been handled sensitively by government, and that appears not to have happened.
Yeah, well, OK, there was a lot of misinformation in the last few days, and, you know, that was not going to prove possible, and proceeding with the event at this time would have been counterproductive given the heightened tensions. So I accept that with the benefit of hindsight, perhaps there should have been more consultation. But nevertheless, some people took this opportunity to spread misinformation and politicise the commemorations. And I do not believe that the commemorations should be politicised in any way.
Yes.
They're above politics, and that's where they should
remain. And as somebody who comes from a minority background yourself, do you share the Taoiseach's concern that this controversy about the RIC has set back the case and the bid for United Ireland?
Well, I was actually, surprised to see what has happened in the last number of days, because, there has been a lot of emotional, and I understand why people can get emotional about issues such as the Blackened Hands, but misinformation, and that is the problem here. People misunderstood, and there was a lot of people out there that were quite happy to feed into that misinformation and promote it. As I said, it was never about the Blackened Hands. It was about the decent, honest people that served in the RIC, and some of them made the ultimate sacrifice because they lost their lives. And I do believe that their relatives and their families, deserve the respect
to have them
remembered.
Just one other point on this one, Minister. Your party colleague and Chief Whip, Sean Kine, was telling Nuach, the TG Cahir, that a list was read out at Cabinet of proposed events before Christmas, including occasions to mark the burning of Cork, the murder of Cork's Lord Mayor, Tomás McCurtain, the sacking of Balbriggan and the execution of Kevin Barry. He said this RIC commemoration was not on the list that came before government before Christmas, so it wasn't on the list of what we discussed. Now, how could that have happened?
Well, there was a recommendation that the RIC members should be commemorated. And I feel that they certainly should be commemorated. So there was a recommendation that that should happen. In terms of the actual list that went to Cabinet, I haven't got it to hand here. But, it's important that we do recognise the RIC members.
OK. Well, look, thank you very much indeed for talking to us. That's Heather Humphreys there, Minister for Business, Enterprise and Innovation.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.